Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. It is a Wednesday morning. It is the 15th day of the month, and we are counting them down, baby. 5 days until the 20th and the inauguration, and hoping we can limit as much damage as possible the next 5 days from the Joe Biden administration. That is for sure. Glad you're with us this morning. Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman in here. Sue Thomas helping you get to work if there are any traffic problems out there. Or let me see, maybe some sunshine slowdowns this morning as I see some sun on this very, very cold morning. For some relief for those of you in the city, we've talked about this a little bit today. Channel 2 found some evidence of the city spreading some sand, at least, on some side streets. But by Friday, it's going to be in the high 40s.
Why did it take them a week?
I don't know.
More
than
a week.
They've never done it. They've never done
it. That's such a terrible excuse.
They appear to be reacting to it a little bit anyway. But looks like they're just waiting on nature to take its course and melt the snow.
Well, I guess I'll just let nature take its course when I owe the city taxes.
I think that's a great idea.
I'll have that same mindset.
Yep. Good luck with that. Hey, coming up here, we did get a voice message here earlier. Carl Middleman, if you want to play that for the people, I think now would be a great time to do that.
Mark, for anybody planning on attending the inauguration, can you have a discussion on the do's and don'ts of getting in and out of D.C.? We're planning on getting tickets from Josh Hawley to get in the perimeter. What would be the advice you'd give to attending the January 20th presidential inauguration?
Yeah, we'll talk about that here. I appreciate that. What was his name, Carl?
That's Sean from Farmington.
All right, Sean, we appreciate that. And like me, it sounds like you're going to be venturing up to D.C. Could be one of the largest crowds in inaugural history. May not be. Donald Trump will say it is, whether it is or not.
But he hasn't been talking about that, and I wonder if he's been coached to not.
Maybe not. Maybe
that's
not.
Pretty unlike him to not be saying it's going to be a huge crowd, but he's been pretty quiet about
it's
that.
It's going to be cold, I can tell you that, but we will talk about more that more here in just a couple minutes. First, though, I want to get to this morning's top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This is to protect women and girls. It's very clear. It's been articulated well. And you've heard examples. Riley's one of the most famous. But again, it happens all the time, all across the country. Congress has a role to play here.
Yeah, that's Mike Johnson talking about the bill the House passed. Not quite on a straight party line vote. Two Democrats switched over and voted with them. And they're going to send it on to the Senate now that would ban men from participating in women's sports.
Is would you use our military to take over Greenland or an ally of Denmark?
No, Senator. Let me answer for Pete Hegseth. No, nobody's going to do that, particularly not the Secretary of Defense. Now, that may be a question you want to direct to Donald Trump because he would be the decider.
Well, in short, I think Pete Hegseth kicked their asses today. I mean, it wasn't even close. They didn't lay a glove on Hegseth. No mistakes. Calm, cool, collected.
Yeah, Scott Jennings there kind of spelling it out on CNN. I'm sure it wasn't what they wanted to hear. But if you watched yesterday, you learned what the president saw in Pete Hegseth, in case you'd been wondering.
You are undermining the very cause that I know you so desperately want to promote right now. So I was embarrassed for them. I was embarrassed for my sex and how they were behaving today.
Ooh, she was talking about Megyn Kelly there, talking about Mazie Hirono and Tammy Duckworth and a few of the other female senators who were chewing out Pete Hegseth, kind of wagging the finger at him yesterday during this hearing. So that hearing, there are five more hearings that get underway this morning, starting at 9. Marco Rubio is probably the biggest of those as SecDef. Pam Bondi, Department of Justice Attorney General, John Ratcliffe, Sean Duffy, Chris Wright, all those hearings are scheduled for today. So they are, as Thune promised, moving things right along. Now, let's talk about the inauguration for a minute. I am going. I've been to D.C. Many times, Sean, and my biggest advice for you would be learn the metro system. Don't try to drive anywhere. Once you get to your hotel, figure out a way to either Uber to a metro station or figure out that train map, because I think it's going to be a crowded mess in D.C. this coming weekend. And the less you have to rely on trying to find a parking space and fighting that traffic, the better off you're going to be. Besides that, they've got a bunch of the streets in D.C. shut off already. They've got them shut down with concrete barriers to really for probably security reasons as much as anything, to keep people from driving vehicles into areas where they're going to be pedestrians. All around that mall, all up and down Constitution Avenue, all through there in front of the Supreme Court, I'm sure that it's just going to be bedlam. So I would highly recommend, if you're going up there, leave early. Most people who are picking up tickets have been in contact now with either the senator or congressman's office. You know you're going to have to pick them up either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You won't be able to get them on Monday, so you're going to have to get there early enough to arrange to do that. On Sunday, if you're going up Sunday, there is a if you're going up Saturday, I should say, there's a fireworks going on at some point. There's a cabinet reception, which you won't have anything to do with. On Sunday, they're going to do a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington. There's a victory rally for President Trump at the arena there at about 3 o'clock. I think the doors open at 1, and the rally starts at 3 in D.C. on Sunday. And then, of course, starting Monday morning, there's a church service, a swearing-in ceremony at the Capitol. I think that's around noon. Probably. So, and then the parade and all of that, which is another reason why you want to avoid, if you can, trying to drive anywhere. Take Metro. The Capitol Police have put out a long list of things you can't have if you're planning to go to the inauguration. And most of it is just common sense. Just think like you're going to Busch Stadium over here to a concert or a ball game and plan accordingly. They don't want people walking around with backpacks. They don't want purses beyond a certain size. They've got a limitation on the size of the bag that you can take in. Obviously, they don't want you taking anything that would even resemble something you could use as a weapon, like a pen or a taser. None of those things could you possibly have with you as you attend this weekend. I'm sure a lot of it is a throwback to January 6th. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they've really kind of overdone it. I mean, they're telling people, you can't wear body armor. Well, to the inauguration? Are there people going to wear body armor? You can't carry guns. You can't even carry toy guns. I don't know who's carrying toy guns to the inauguration. That seems like common sense to me, but that's part of the list that they put out earlier this week. So I would just say, on top of everything else, give yourself plenty of time. I'm sure the metro system there will be swamped with riders. and it's going to be cold. It's going to be in the 20s, and there's going to be a strong wind gusts. They're expecting the possibility of some light snow. So dress like Bernie Sanders in that famous photo with a hat and gloves and many layers before you get over there. And no alcohol, by the way.
Good luck with that, Mark.
Yeah. No, that's on the list, too. For the for somebody bringing a flask.
No explosives. And I think that that's something probably a lot of people plan to bring.
No mortars, no explosives.
Leave
just trying to leave all that behind.
At home.
It's pretty silly. Yeah. Good luck to you, though. And I would say maybe I'll see you there, but we'll be there with 300,000 of our closest friends. I feel pretty confident. So we'll have a full report for you as we'll be covering that. It's Martin Luther King Day, but we're going to be covering that for you. More details coming up here in a few minutes. I want to talk to you about that event that we mentioned that's going on for Backstoppers this weekend as well. We're going to get to Taylor Riggs at the bottom of the hour from Fox Business from the Big Money Show. We're going to be right back.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are playing this for Carl Middleman, who's feeling his mortality a bit this morning, discovering that Pitbull is 45?
44.
44. I aged him by a year. Sorry.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. Carl goes every year. Sometimes he dresses like him when he goes to the concert.
Kim saw that picture. It's a great outfit, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you, Pitbull.
Armando.
Armando.
What was it, the Blues game that... No, what game was it where they were singing the song and you were on the big screen singing Fireball?
Fireball.
What game was that?
That
it wouldn't have been...
No, that was
no,
the baseball.
That would have been
baseball.
I was going to say, because you would have been working the Blues
game.
You
never see Carl in a Blues game.
That was at the baseball game.
They
They should cut to video of you.
Singing
just like
along.
They should cut to video of Jeremy Boyer playing
they
the
do.
Organ. They do. Well, they should cut to you, too.
No.
Hey, speaking of sports, congratulations to you Mizzou fans out there. What a huge basketball win last night on the road in Florida, the number 5 team in the country, and they beat them. I mean, it was close. They had a better lead, Carl said, and then they lost on the last second shot. Or they didn't lose. They hung on to win by 1 point, but Florida was making a little bit of a run at them right at the end of the show.
Now, Mizzou made their free throws.
Florida didn't.
Yeah, they were down by 4. With like 15 seconds to go, so they were never... It was a two-possession game, and Florida only had one possession.
Well, that was still a huge, huge, huge win for Mizzou last night.
And it took forever.
Hey, let me remind you, we had these folks on the show to talk a little bit more about this, but the Guns N' Hoses soccer game is coming up this weekend, this Saturday, January 18th at 5 to 10 o'clock at the Family Arena out in St. Charles. So it doesn't matter what the weather is. It's inside. If you're a soccer fan and or you love supporting our first responders, you need to look this up. We've got details on our website. You go out there, you get to watch two different soccer games. You watch the Ambush first take on the Strikers, and then you hang around, and they got all kinds of auctions going on, silent auctions and everything else. One low ticket price covers both events. $5 from each ticket goes straight to Backstopper, so it's going to be a good time. And we had our friends who were in here from Maryland Heights and other local departments who are of course, either playing in the game or supporting it, because it'll be sort of be the paramedics versus the police officers in the second soccer game. And I'm sure that's going to be a lot of great competition out there. So if you can check that out, go to our website at 971talk.com. And under events, you will see this. So you can check that out. And there's a link there to buy tickets. We're trying to make it as easy as we can for you. So go check that out. It's Saturday night. Also, by the way, we're feeding our first responders again this year, just so you know. Speaking of first responders, Grillmaster Tony, great guy. Love Tony Stone. He insists on doing this, and we're happy to accommodate him. And here's how we're changing it a little bit this year. Last year, we would say, hey, if you had a good experience with the department, nominate them, and we'll pick one at random, and we'll go out and we'll deliver a box of food to them, on a last Friday of the month. This year, we're going to do a little differently. If you can nominate an individual first responder, maybe you've had a great experience with a police officer or a firefighter or an EMS worker who went above and beyond or did something really well in responding to your needs, send their name in, and we will pick their, we'll feed their department that day. Whoever's on the shift, we're going to deliver a box of food, and I'll do it personally. Tony's usually there. And all you have to do is go online to submit your nomination. We're trying to make it as easy as possible. So when you go to 971talk.com, just go to the events tab, or the contest tab, I'm sorry, and you'll see Feed Our First Responders. You click on that, you submit your nomination for your favorite first responder, and then we will treat their department to a great meal, courtesy of Grillmaster Tony and 97.1 FM Talk. So go on in there and send us the name of your favorite first responder. It's great. I love doing it. They're always appreciative. Just love hanging out with them. Last night, I had to go down to the St. Louis County Courthouse. My daughter was involved in a mock trial. And they had a couple of court cases they were basically doing down. Oh, there were a bunch of kids down there. And as I was leaving, I ran into a police officer who is also in the military still, in the Guard, and he serves as a recruiter. And he told me something very interesting, because we talked a little bit about the show and Pete Hegseth and all that. And he goes, I got to tell you, as a recruiter, I have seen a huge change in attitude about people wanting to serve. They not only people wanting to re-up their enlistment, but wanting to serve. And just being honest about it, he said, we were struggling, and now there's a feeling that you got people who are going to be in charge who care about the military.
Yeah, that's really good to hear, because yeah, I worried about that. I mean, I knew that was an issue with recruitment, and I'm really hopeful that that's going to continue to trend in the right direction.
It's just one personal story that was related to me, but I think it's a good one, and it came right from the source of somebody who is involved in that recruitment. So we appreciate your service as well, sir. Thank you for that. Absolutely. All right, coming up, we're going to get to our friend Taylor Riggs. Always love having her on. Co-anchor of the Big Money Show on the Fox Business Network. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us here. We are looking, I guess, today at some inflation rates, right, to find out what's happening out there and what's going to be affecting the markets 5 days out from the inauguration. Let's get to our guest, Taylor Riggs. Great to have her back. Co-anchor the Big Money Show at Fox Business every weekday from noon to 1 o'clock. Taylor, welcome back.
It's great to be back with you.
There's just not much to talk about these days, is there? It's just so slow.
Very boring. You know, only up 700 points in the market. Bond yields are tumbling. Crypto's on a tear. Nothing going on.
Wow. So hit that for me. I mean, what is the inflation numbers? That's what we were waiting for this morning, right?
Yeah, you know, so this is so interesting. The inflation numbers, we will tell you, are a little bit better than expected in terms of what we were thinking the numbers were. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I still don't like it. On an annual basis, prices are still up over 3.2%. Remember, the Fed really wants to see prices only rising about 2%. So, look, it's better than expected, but I'm going to be frank. I think we just still have a lot more work to do. Obviously, the markets are confident that Trump actually might be the guy to do that. I think another interesting setup you had coming into this is, we've actually been going through a pretty significant sell-off in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
We'd wiped out a lot of the Trump rally. I read somewhere you had about $2.5 trillion in market cap of equities just wiped off the map. And so I think any little hint of good news this morning with that inflation data really just put the stock market on a total tear. So we're up about 1.5% today. I want to see again if those numbers survive through the day. But again, I think the setup is, you know, people are excited about any sort of day one policies, executive orders that can really help boost the economy. And as we talked about, the inflation numbers, they better than expected, but I don't think Americans are still thrilled with egg prices right now.
No.
Assuming that RFK Jr. is confirmed with these Senate confirmation hearings that are going on right now, mm-hmm. what do you think that could do as far as the stock market goes? Because he obviously goes after a lot of these vaccine companies
yes.
and companies in general, like Kellogg's, for example, not necessarily RFK Jr., but he has talked about that, a lot of these dyes and chemicals that are in these foods yes. that we're eating.
So, great point. I've heard two sides to this story. First is a lot of the healthcare stocks have been pulling back because they are worried about what an RFK Jr. in the White House means. But once they kind of settle down and realize that this is maybe more bark than bite, he's not coming out and he's not going to ban every vaccine. That's total hyperbole. That's what the left wants you to think that he's going to do to scare you. Once the market understands that that is not going to happen. I've heard a lot of people say that they think that the healthcare sector could rally again. So again, I think for the market, they're going to be trying to understand within healthcare sector, what policies is he really sticking to? And then what has been a lot of hyperbole on the dye story. I don't know if you saw it, breaking news a few hours ago. The U.S. government is thinking about banning red dye 3.
Really?
This is the General Mills product. I don't yeah. know the exact products. I want to go look this up.
It's in so many things.
But this has been, remember, this was banned. I was speaking to Dr. Mark Siegel. He said that red 3 was banned in cosmetics decades ago. You can't put this stuff on your skin. It's so cancerous. Yet we all eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So the government finally, and I think this has been pressure from RFK Jr. on this trend, they're thinking about banning that. So that's sort of the first step that we see. Now, there's 1,000 other dyes that I would like banned,
yeah.
but this is one start. So I want to look at General Mills stock. I want to see how the food lobby responds. I want to see how these companies respond. And again, we make the same Fruit Loops in Canada without the dyes. How quickly can these companies do that in the U.S.? Or is it really going to be materially impacting them? Or is this just sort of a headline shock to the system?
Yeah, it's true. Taylor, one reason I love having you on here is that you are able to explain things in simple terms. I want to nerd out here with you for a minute.
Awesome.
If Treasury yields tumbled at the yeah. news that the inflation rate was better than expected, and the Fed has been cutting rates, why in the world would mortgage rates not drop given the fact that Treasury yields are tumbling?
Yes. Okay. Since the Fed started cutting interest rates, 6 months ago, whatever it has been, bond yields have been spiking because they're looking at the Federal Reserve and saying, nope, I don't think so. Inflation is still a problem. You're cutting rates. But we're going to call you. We're going to call you out on this. You go back to the 1980s, we call them the bond vigilantes. They're coming out and they're fighting and they're pushing back against the Federal Reserve and saying, no matter how much you cut rates, I'm worried about a debt problem. I'm worried about a deficit problem. Huh. I'm worried about an inflation problem. I'm worried about how we're going to pay all this. And so the Fed can control short-term bills, a three-month, a one-year, a two-year. The Fed cannot control necessarily a 30-year mortgage. So you have the bond market and bond traders pushing back on the Federal Reserve and saying, I don't think so. Now, today, to your point, is a different story. Bond yields are tumbling. You just had a 15 basis point drop in the 10-year yield. We were at 5% on the 30-year, and now we're well below that. That was on the good CPI news. Right. If inflation is tamer than we think, bond yields will come down because the Federal Reserve will continue to cut. because inflation is under control. Does that make sense? It's complicated. I know.
It's complicated. You can't just look at it and say, well, if they cut this, this should get cut. It's inverse thinking sometimes. And I know people have a hard time wrapping their brain around it, which is why I wanted to let you try to explain it.
Yeah, you know, and again, the mortgage rates, they can't control that unless they purposely go out and buy mortgages, which they did in 2008 when the housing market collapsed, but they're not doing that right now.
Yeah.
So they can only control the front end of the curve, the short-term bills. But everyone else is thinking, okay, you want mortgages to come down, but I'm worried about our $2 trillion deficit that we just had in the first couple months of this fiscal year. I'm worried about a $36 trillion debt problem. And if I'm pricing in still higher inflation, maybe higher growth, but also concerns about how we're going to pay for that in the long run, you're going to have to pay me 5% to buy that 30-year yield. You have to pay me at least 5% because there is so much risk involved in this economy right now.
Yeah.
That's what the market's trying to digest.
Well, hopefully they get some Tums and this goes down easily. That's all I can say. Taylor, we appreciate that. What do you got coming up on the show today? Do you have a rundown yet?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So obviously covering this market, we're talking to Congressman Greg Stube, all over DOGE, confirmation hearings, an external revenue service instead of an internal revenue service.
Yeah.
We've got it all. Thank you for asking.
The external revenue service. I love that. What a great idea. Taylor, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thanks.
You bet. Taylor Riggs there, the Fox Business Network. Now, I don't want anybody to feel bad with what I'm about to say. That young lady has her CFA. She has a business degree. She's a young mother. She routinely runs 26.2-mile marathons. And just so you know, not that she's an overachiever or anything, in 4 months, she will complete her Juris Doctorate at the New York School of Law, in addition to anchoring a network business show Monday through Friday and all the other things she juggles. So, you know, whatever you're doing these days, don't feel too overwhelmed by it because Taylor Riggs is doing twice that, just so you know.
Yeah, she's like the Energizer Bunny.
She is impressive. That's an impressive young lady right there, I'll have to say. All right, we're going to be back here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Advice and consent. Ms. Biondi, thanks for coming to my office last week to discuss your nomination. The importance of the Attorney General to our justice system cannot be overstated. As our nation's chief law enforcement officer, the Attorney General oversees the Department of Justice, which is responsible for protecting the civil rights of Americans, economic freedom and opportunity, public safety, and, of course, national security.
Yeah, Dick Durbin there, if you didn't recognize the voice. What about lawfare, Dick? You going to bring that up today, just out of interest? So this is the Judiciary Committee, by the way. This hearing got underway about 20 minutes ago. They called it to order, and this is the point where each of the two, Chuck Grassley just got done speaking. Dick Durbin will lecture her for his 5 minutes, and then they'll actually get around to letting her make an opening statement. So we have not heard that yet that I'm aware of from Pam Bondi. But if it happens before the end of the show, which I doubt, we'll try to take some of that because Dick Durbin just started speaking. He'll take 5 minutes lecturing her on why the Department of Justice shouldn't be used for political purposes.
And Chuck Grassley talked for 10 minutes.
Yes, so. Yeah. Even though we know darn good and well that Joe Biden was upset, according to reports in, was it the New York Times or Washington Post, that his attorney, General Merrick Garland, didn't do more to attack his political opponent or didn't start early enough. Because if he just started early enough, they might have actually had Donald Trump on trial during the election, and that would have hurt his chances. I mean, he said that. According to press reports. So I'm going to watch and listen to some of this today, but I don't believe a word coming out of the Democrats' mouth because they're the ones that have engaged in lawfare for years now. They, from the time Donald Trump got elected until now, it's never stopped. From impeachments to fake charges to fake convictions, from all of it, it's never stopped. And Jack Smith resigned yesterday, and they still released his defamatory report, which included all of his hypotheses with no proof of anything, calling you angry. That's how biased Jack Smith was. So I'm just done with all of them. Dip back into this for a minute, Carl. See what Dick's lecturing her on.
Judges,
right now.
Poll workers, military officials, and even his own former political appointees. Even before taking office, Trump has forced out his own FBI director that he appointed, Chris Wray. And he's trying to replace Wray with Kash Patel, whose main qualification to be FBI director seems to be his loyalty to Donald Trump. Patel has even compiled an enemies
list. Who wrote
list
that for you, Dick? Let's go, because Kash Patel will be in charge of the FBI, Mr. Durbin. There's nothing, I don't think there's anything you can do about it. So just to give you just a quick idea here, that's the Judiciary Committee. They started meeting at 8:30. At 9 o'clock, four other committees start. I don't know how they're going to cover all this. Marco Rubio goes in front of Foreign Relations this morning at 9 our time. Of course, he's nominated to be Secretary of State. John Ratcliffe, love that guy, used to be the DNI. Now they've nominated him to be the director of the CIA. That's the Intelligence Committee. That starts at 9 a.m. And the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee gets underway at 9 a.m. as well, our time, to talk to Sean Duffy of Wisconsin for Secretary of Transportation. Because you know he's got to be at least as qualified as Pothole Pete, the mayor of a tiny failed town in Indiana where he couldn't even fill the potholes, but he was our Secretary of Transportation when he wasn't on parental leave.
I guess they assume that these confirmation hearings will be far less time-consuming as Pete Hegseth's, considering they're trying to jam-pack four or five.
Think of Marco Rubio,
that should go fast.
Think of what their wish list. Their wish list had to be, God, let it be Matt Gaetz. And then it wasn't because they knew they had the bombshell report. Gaetz is out of the picture. So they then directed all of their fire on Hegseth, which yesterday, as we saw, got them absolutely nowhere. Mm-hmm. And Joni Ernst said, I'm going to vote for him. So there's virtually a shoe-in now that Hegseth will be confirmed. Kash Patel will be next.
When are they actually voting on these people?
I think Thune said he'd like to see a vote soon, which would probably mean next week, maybe right after the inauguration. I can't imagine they'd do that Thursday or Friday of this week, but I guess it's possible.
So they'll go through all the confirmation hearings for everyone, and then after that is said and done, that's when they would do, because the whole Senate, right? It's the entire Senate that votes on this?
It is. It would have to be voted on by the committee and then go to the Senate floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if they would try to do them all at once or not. I mean, I think it depends on how quickly the hearings go.
RFK Jr.'s is going to last a long time. I think Kash Patel's will, too.
Yeah, those two could take a tad bit longer. But what's key here? Secretary of State? You got to have a Secretary of State.
I don't think Marco Rubio is going to have too big of an issue.
I don't think so either. All right. That's it for us today. We're out of time. I'm sure the Brian Kilmeade Show will cover all of these hearings for you today. Stay tuned for that. He's always got great guests up there on Capitol Hill. Andy and Mark will bring you the rest of the testimony later this afternoon. We'll be back here Thursday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great Wednesday.
Get more at 971talk.com.